And now, your only choice for local sports talk in the morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. We will talk to Bucks General Manager John Horst at 9:30. The Brewers general manager is out in Las Vegas, as is all of baseball media, including our friend Adam McKelvey. Brewers.com, MLB.com, as the winter meetings go on. Chuck, the winter meetings are just everybody gets there and then talks to each other in rooms?
Yeah, I think the bars, rooms, can you, whatever.
Adam, can you re-explain to me what this actually is?
Well, I think the history of it is, you know, you think back to I don't know how far they go back, but let's say the 1960s and 70s. And if you want to spur activity between teams, a really good way to do it is to get everybody together in one hotel that's stocked with copious amounts of alcohol and cigars and, you know, a place for guys to slap each other on the back and make trades. And that's what happened at the winter meetings. The guys that have been covering these for a long time tell stories about there's always like a media workroom that has a kind of a stage or a podium, and it doubles as a press conference room. And there would be teams literally lined up to announce trades and signings that they got done at the winter meetings, because the agents are here too, so it's free agents as well. So It was just a way to spur movement by getting everybody in a room. And as time has gone by, and I've even seen it in my time, that's less and less important because these guys are all texting each other. So teams can be on the same. Each team has a suite in the hotel, and they all get together and they kind of brainstorm ideas. And there's all kinds of things that your baseball ops team can do that when you have 4 days or, you know, at least three full days together in a hotel suite. So you kind of go over your team and you brainstorm ideas and you talk to other teams and things like that. And I've seen it happen where it's so much less face-to-face now that there's so much texting, there's calls, there's emails, there's other ways to make trades now. And I think that kind of the face-to-face of it is less important. You know, in the bars every night, you almost never see the GMs anymore. These guys are probably in bed while the rest of us are downstairs sharing rumors in the bar. So it's a different animal now. And the reason they keep doing it is there's all these other things that go on here. There's meetings of the trainers. There's meetings of the traveling secretaries, the PR people. The minor leagues have a huge footprint here with a job fair, with affiliate meeting, the affiliates and the major league people. The Brewers had theirs last night where they had like a little banquet and they all get together. And there's value in the face-to-face of all of these other things. So there's a huge, there's just all kinds of ancillary events to the GMs and the suites trying to make trades, which I think was one of the main reasons that they did this, you know, back in the day. So that's why they continue doing it. So I think the purpose of it is a little bit different. I think you see less action in terms of trades and signings at the meetings, but this face-to-face, it does kind of spur movement later, because if you look, there's almost always some stuff on Friday. There's always some stuff before Christmas, and a lot of a lot of that sometimes comes from discussions here at the meeting.
Anything the Brewers are trying to get done immediately? I would think, you know, second baseman. You know, there's rumblings about Daniel Murphy. What are you hearing down there about anything that they might be involved in?
Well, there's definitely things that they are involved in second base, and it is on the pitching front. Mm-hmm. But if the question was, is there anything they're trying to get done quickly? The answer is no. And I think, you know, the reason is, here's what I wrote. David Stern said the first, 2 days after Game 7, when we all got together at Miller Park and we had that kind of season-end press conference and asked a whole bunch of questions about the season, the off-season ahead, the very first thing he said was that this is looking like a different off-season from the ones he's been involved in so far. Remember the first one, he turned over half the roster. The second one, I think, was the Travis Shaw winter meetings trade, pretty significant deal, and there were some more significant deals that winter. Then last year, it was quieter in December, although Chassin signed right after the meetings. But then it was January when he made the huge move with Yelich and Kane. So what he was saying is that because of the way they're built and they have, they did lose some players, yes, but I think it was 12 of their 14 most valuable players are all back. That it was just going to be a different kind of offseason, and that translated to quieter. And look, I heard him say it, I wrote it, I've said it to you guys, but I feel like it's sort of hitting home now that it's the winter meetings, and they haven't made, you know, unless you count the non-roster invitees, they've made a couple of non-roster invitees, minor league guys. That's it in terms of outside acquisitions. I think it's hitting home that, you know, he wasn't posturing when he said that. It really is it's going to be a quieter offseason because their needs are a little more on the fringes than it's been where they're looking for, you know, they've added core pieces and other winners. So second base is definitely something they're looking at. But when you see, you know, 12 usable names or so in free agency and, you know, five or six more, probably more than that, that we're not thinking of on the trade market, it probably behooves the Brewers when the budget's a little bit tighter than it's been to wait and fill that spot because you're looking for kind of a stopgap to a Keston Hira and Mauricio Dubon. You can get that guy perhaps later in the winter, and I think that's what they're trying to do, and then use, you know, not dump all your resources in somebody that you could sign right now, but save those resources for later, pay a little bit less, and maybe it gets an extra bullpen arm out of that. I think that's kind of the tact that they came into this offseason thinking they were going to follow, and that's the way that they are continuing to operate. So I think they're just going to be patient in this. They'll get a second baseman somewhere. It's not going to be Mauricio Dubon. He said yesterday that was a little bit of news. He'll start in the minor leagues, get his legs back under him after a knee surgery. They'll find a second baseman somewhere, but it could be more of like a late winter type deal and somebody to bridge the gap to those prospects.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, who is in Las Vegas for the winter meetings. John Morosi seems to think that the Brewers can get Corey Kluber, and then the like best prospect they would give up is Corey Ray. Is that, I guess I'll ask you, these rumors about pitchers and these rumors about like Daniel Murphy and the second baseman, is one more likely to happen than the other? I see second. They're going to get a second. Somehow they're going to get a second baseman. So maybe I answer my own question. Yeah, but we've for years thought ace, and then there's names, and then they don't get one. And the Kluber thing to me right now feels like that.
Well, I would. They definitely are engaged with teams on pitching. How hard they're engaged and how aggressive they're willing to be, I think, is a different question. And I think the strategy would probably fall into the same, maybe a little more conservative strategy there. Number one, because they've been telling us now for 3 years that they like their pitching more than outsiders do. And in all of those years, the pitching has been better than everybody projected it was going to be. And now you've got the guys like Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, Zach Brown, I would put in that, their minor league pitcher of the year, coming from AA, following the same path that Woodruff and Burns did the last 2 years before this one. They've got all those guys sort of available as options. Chassin coming back, Anderson as a, you know, who knows, you know, good season, bad season, what do you have there? Zach Davies sort of coming off an uncertain year. Jimmy Nelson coming back as a wild card. They're positioned to do it with depth again, and that has worked with them while the rest of the world and me and you and everybody saying they need an ace. They've not had one, and they've pitched at a pretty high level for a couple of years now. And I think that's probably, as it stands right now, the likeliest way that they'll do it again. But at the same time, you remain engaged because it makes sense to do so on Kluber, Bumgarner, just to see what those markets are. And if there is an opportunity to do something that you like where you don't give up a Hira or a Burns, you think about it at least. And if you can get Corey Kluber without giving up Keston Hira or Corbin Burns, I think that's something you at least have to consider doing. And Corey Ray is a guy that would fit a need for the Indians, or looking for a young outfielder that's sort of, you know, pushing the cusp of the big leagues, and a guy coming off a really good year. He'd not had a good year before that, and last season he had an offensive breakthrough. So if you are like a believer in the sell high philosophy, this is potentially a moment if you think that you have enough outfield depth in the rest of your organization to cover that loss. So that's why I think that we hear Corey Kluber, because the pieces match, not necessarily because the teams are like in heavy negotiations to make that happen. And, you know, look, sometimes the pieces match and it actually works out and something does happen. But I'm still going to say I am more on, I would bet the under on this one actually happening. Although it was funny yesterday, the Brewers suite was at the end of the hallway. There's actually, you know, there's the Vegas people know there's the Mandalay and then there's the Delano, kind of like out back is the, like the side hotel as part of this complex. That's where all the GMs are here. They must have nicer suites at that hotel, a newer hotel. And the Indians are like four doors down. So, you know, if they want to make a deal, they can just sort of like yell at the door and make it happen. It wouldn't be very difficult. So I think that that maybe, I don't know if Morosi knows that, but maybe that's what's fueling this too, proximity.
Okay. So
I'm joking, but it's 7 o'clock in the morning and I've slept for like 3 hours. And
well, you're out at the tables last night, McKelvey?
Well, a little bit. I mean, nothing crazy. We have a
did you ever hit on 16
this morning? Yes, I sure did. I sure did.
Did you ever stay on 16?
No, never.
Did you, you know, 16?
Well, I mean, look, not never. We're talking about a face card show, and you hit on 16. I'm going to teach everybody in the world this until everybody in the world does it.
It's okay to stay on 16 if you have a feel against a face card.
No.
It's your money.
No.
It's your money.
Don't do that.
Screw
though.
The rest of the table.
But you're not going to win.
You ain't playing for them.
But you ain't
you're
winning.
You're playing for you.
You ain't going to win.
You go on feel.
But you're not going to win.
People yelling at me at a blackjack table is the least favorite thing that I've ever encountered in my life.
Which, okay, I get that. But
it's my money. It's your money.
Don't hold on 16 against a face card. You're going to lose.
But if you're counting cards like me.
Come on.
Okay, if you're playing like single deck and you're paying attention, okay. But all these places now are like, what is it, 8 deck?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I would never. No, I can't. You can't stay.
The best thing to do is take all your money, walk over to a roulette table, and put it on red or black.
Or you go to the sports book. And
sportsbook is where my money goes to die.
And bet on the over on every New England Patriots game.
Okay.
So no, I don't know if I was going to ask you. What are they going to do about this bullpen here? I mean, would they be in a market? I would think for me, because they're going to lose some bullpen hands, aren't they?
Well, Soria was a guy that was, you know, kind of a key add for them down the stretch because of the way it lengthened the back end guys that Council trusted. But you know, you have a Jeffress Knebel Hader back. I think you have, I would assume you have a better Taylor Williams next season with a year under his belt. You have Adrian Hauser in the mix who pitched well last year. Bullpen up here, starter in the minors. He's now out of options. So I think he's a guy that I kind of have earmarked for a more prominent role. You know, there are options there, but I think they will add to that group. That's a market that I forget what the numbers are, and I saw them yesterday kind of in passing, but there's like, double-check my math here, but I remember seeing something like 60 free agent pitchers or relievers, and like 5 have signed. So it's another one of those markets that there are players available. And each team is kind of, you know, doing its math right now. They have all many of the analytics guys are done here. That's another change in the winter meetings. Is they have a lot of their really smart systems people come down, and they're all trying to, they analyze the stuff of these pitchers, and they're looking for that diamond in the rough, the kind of comeback type guy. And there is still a long list of players from which to choose that kind of fit that description, kind of bullpen guys. If you're looking for like a middle guy to stick in front of those three big boys that the Brewers have coming back, I think that player is going to be available pretty deep into the winter. So it just happens that their needs are in very, very deep buyer's markets. So I think that they're going to wait because, again, if you wait and you make a smart deal, instead of the deal you can, you know, tack on X more million dollars now to get a guy to sign before you go home from the winter meetings, you can tell your fans that you did something at the winter meetings. You can maybe get fill both needs for the same price rather than make something, some kind of splash, an early move, and then you're strapped to fill a need elsewhere. You know, people don't like to hear about the payroll and team being tight, and the Brewers have drawn so well, and the fans have supported it, the team so fantastically, even in the intervening years between those playoff appearances where there were some bad teams, and they think, why should we be in any kind of payroll constraint? But, you know, Mark has said he wants to operate this business he uses that word kind of responsible way because he feels a long-term obligation to field a reasonably competitive team, you know, every year, as many years as possible, I guess, in an age of rebuilding where sometimes by plan you take a step back. And that means operating in that, you know, once they get up around 110, 115, it's pushing the edges of what's comfortable for the guys who know what the books look like. And they're there. I don't know that people realize that basically because they count other money beyond like the salaries of the players signed. There's players on the, you have to account for players going on the DL. You have to account for all the players that you call up and send back down during the season. Last year they used 53 players. So the payroll is this, it's much bigger than your 25-man opening day. You account for in-season acquisitions. You want to leave yourself flexibility. If somebody goes down and you're good and you need a shortstop, you want to be able to go trade for the best shortstop and take on a salary if that's what needs to be done. So you factor all those things in, the guys that they already do have signed, including, you know, Braun, Kane, Yelich at the top, all these arbitration-eligible players, way more than in any other year I can remember covering this team, guys that have at least 3 years of service and they get paid more through that arbitration system. Add up the salaries that those guys are going to make with what's already committed and what is projected for those, you know, in-season ads that I mentioned. And, you know, it's a number like 110 plus. So they are tight. And again, I know people don't like to hear that, but it's kind of the reality. And it's another factor we have to keep in mind as we think about what moves they can make. They could shed payroll by trading Thames or Anderson or someone else they could deal. But as they are consisted right now, they do not have, you know, suitcases of cash to throw at free agents. And that's a factor.
Adam, get back to the tables. Thanks for getting up for us.
Yes.
We will talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Adam.
I don't think I've ever seen a sunrise here, and I just watched it. It was glorious.
Yeah, mountains and stuff. You're in a good spot. Yeah. Hey, go to Bally's and say hi to my brother.
Yeah, I will do that, okay?
Yep, just go to Bally's and look for Bart Winkler's brother.
A very nice listener sent me a direct message yesterday and said he runs a sportsbook at a casino downtown on Fremont Street. They're, like, renovating their casino or opening their sportsbook, rather. And he's a Milwaukee guy. So I got to figure out where that is, and I'll let you guys know for your next visit. You can go see a cheeser and, you know, watch some football games.
I've never been to Vegas, Adam.
What?
See, that's the response I was getting. I know. I've never been to Vegas.
Really?
Never have been to Vegas.
Do anything for you?
What's that? Yes, I just never been.
Do glorious acrobatics do anything for you?
Does getting the hell away from Milwaukee this time of year do for you?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I mean, like all the Cirque du Soleil, you know, every place
has
a Cirque
Yeah. No.
Here's Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil at the Mandalay.
Yeah, no. No, I'll get to Vegas eventually. I just haven't been there. I know, it's a surprise to everybody.
How about the three of us guys go out at some point?
I hear you.
I'll set that up. Set that up. I got my brother hooked up.
You can still walk.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We're all getting older, and eventually we're going to be in those. You know, we're not going to be as ambulatory. You want to be able to strut the strip after you win $10 or $15 at a blackjack table.
We will do it, the three of us. Adam, appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
See you guys.
We'll never do it, but just something to
That's
say.
One of those things that you say, oh, yeah, we're going to get together.
Yeah. No, never. I mean, we all like each other pretty good. But
we'll see each other at the
ballpark. We're not going to take a three-person
We don't even go out for beers here in Milwaukee.
No.
All of us guys.
No. I did go out for a beer in St. Louis with Adam once.
You did?
Yeah, when the Brewers clinched.
Oh, you did?
And Wagner and Murray and Cunningham, who left. All these guys. Holden was there. Real powwow.
Okay.
Yeah, real little powwow.
Local media guys.
Little local media powwow down in St. Louis-ski. Yeah.
Murray's reporting about, he's the guy who's reporting on from, I always want to call it the National. It's not the National. It's
The Athletic.
The Athletic. I always call it the National. Remember, the National was the daily newspaper, all sports newspaper back
then.
Yeah,
I gave you my free subscription to it.
Yeah, but I haven't checked it out. I checked it out once. But I saw on Twitter last night he was reporting.
The password is Bart Rules.
Now everybody has it.
Yeah.
Daniel Murphy is the guy that the Brewers are after.
We'll find out. Things happen fast there. Adam McKelvey, a good resource to have. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. You can start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. Also in our community, Hyundai West Dallas. These guys did a great job, as did the entire International Autos family when it came to donating toys for our toy drive. We're going to help drop some of those off further tomorrow, Chuck and myself. So that will be fun. We'll have some video of that to share with you guys. But Hyundai West Dallas, a big, big help. They were collecting toys, not just from you guys that went there and maybe got a service or oil change or bought a car, but their own employees, I mean, contributed to the cause. And that's really good to see. These are good people over there at Hyundai West Dallas. I'm telling you, when it comes to vehicles and when it comes to car businesses, you got to have a friend in the game. I really think you do. Because cars, I don't know jack about cars. I know that they got four wheels most of the time, and there's a steering wheel. And the carburetor, inebriator, any of that stuff. Refrigerator, I don't know any of it. Okay? They do, and you know that they're not giving you the old screw job. You trust these guys. You learn to like these guys. It doesn't take long. But it's always good to have friends in the game, and that's how I feel like I have over at Hyundai West Dallas. And they're going to do the same thing for you because they love sports. They love all our teams. They talk about them the entire day outside of when they're setting people up in their dream car, and they want to meet you guys, too, listeners of The Fan. So go over there. Tell them that you listened and heard about them on The Fan. They'll hook you up with all the discounts and incentives that they can. December is a great month to buy a vehicle because there's a lot of great deals because the new cars are coming. So they're getting those old cars off the lot. Think about that when you're making your next purchase. Hyundai West Dallas, Highway 100 between National and Lincoln. That's National. HyundaiWestDallas.com. Bucks GM John Horst will join us next. How the trades went down and what's maybe to come. John Horst on The Fan coming up. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. We'll have John Horst coming up here momentarily, general manager of the Milwaukee Bucks. Want to tell you about the boys and girls and men and women over at Perkins, and you should be there as well. A lot going on at Perkins. They've got a menu full of, like, steak. So basically, they took everything on the menu and said, that's pretty good, that's pretty good, that's pretty good, and then they threw steak into it. You can have your steak and eat it, too, at Perkins. Can't thank them enough. They came out to our toy drive and fed us. That was very delicious. Also, this is the time of the year for the holiday pies. The holidays are fast approaching, and you can pre-order your pies now at Perkins. The French silk, the caramel apple, the peanut butter silk, the wild berry and pecan, which is only available in December. So show up at your holiday party. Do not show up at a holiday party with nothing. Either bring a bottle of wine or one of these holiday pies from Perkins.
Bill Michaels has got his holiday party on Friday.
Oh, great.
Sweater party. You going?
Wasn't invited.
Oh.
John Horst, Bucks GM, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline after the Bucks win last night over the Cavs, make a couple of moves over the weekend. John, good morning. How you doing?
Hi, John.
Good morning, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right, man. Boy, you kind of surprised everybody by pulling off this trade this last Friday. Has that been in the works for a little bit? How did that all go down?
Yeah, you know, the strategy behind it and kind of the overall concept that we were able to accomplish in the deal with Cleveland and Washington is something that we've targeted and been working on for quite a while. specifically to do it with Cleveland and Washington is something that, you know, for a few weeks we've been working on and going back and forth and trying to figure out some parameters that made sense for all parties. And at the end of the day, we're happy with the result, how it impacts our team now and going forward. So we feel fortunate we were able to pull it off, but we'll see how it all works out now.
I'm fascinated, and I know every trade is different, but like a day in your life, I'm just fascinated by how these things come together. Are you constantly on the phone? Like when you're talking to us, are you checking your phone right now, making sure that there's nothing that you missed? This trade in particular, or just trades as a whole, how long before they're, I guess, from conception to birth, how long do these trades usually materialize?
My daughter and definitely my wife would tell you I'm constantly on my phone, for sure. I think like every deal is different, and obviously they're different in the way that they're structured, the amount of players that are involved, the amount of different moving parts that are involved. And so I think, you know, literally it's been part of things in the past that have taken several months to come to completion, and have been part of things that a team calls you or you call them and put them on the clock within an hour and they have to make a decision. And so I think every situation is different. It's usually a deadline-driven league. There was a bit of a deadline that was relevant in this discussion for us, which helped us kind of figure out a few additional parts to this. And I think they're just all different.
Bucks GM John Horst joining us, Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. So from a fan perspective, we see the move, and it looks pretty good in terms of how you can keep this core together for the future, assuming that the Hill contract comes off the books, and we'll watch and see what you do with all that kind of stuff. But it does, I think, signify that between Brogdon and Middleton and Bledsoe and even Lopez, you've got a group there that they're playing well together, but also their contracts are coming to a point where there needs to be some negotiation because, well, they're expiring. Have you targeted within those guys, this is the guy we want, this is the guy we want, and we'll try to get this guy? Have you targeted a plan for what you want to do with that core, or is that not really something that you have an idea of yet, and maybe you'll see this play out? How certain are you, John, I guess, of what you want the team to look like with those guys next year?
Yeah, I think at this point, with the way that we started the season, the way that we're playing, some of the advanced metrics, you know, relative to our net margin and just overall offensive rating and defensive rating, this is a core group of guys that we all feel like we can get behind and feel very confident in the group that we have. I always say it doesn't mean that we're not going to continue to look to do things to improve and adjust the team if needed, but this group, you know, the starting five is one of the top starting fives in the NBA. With us having Chris and Eric and Giannis, that trio is, I believe, maybe the highest scoring trio in the NBA. If not, they're top two or three. And, you know, they're all headed and led by Bud in the coaching and the job that staff is doing with these guys. We feel like there's a lot of improvement and upside with this group. So we do think we're performing at a pretty high level right now, but we also think this group can continue to improve because of the age and because of the influence of our coaching staff.
When you look at the players around the league and guys you might be interested, do you have to always look and say, hey, this guy's he might work with Giannis, maybe he won't work with Giannis? I mean, not that he doesn't have to work with the other members of the team, but, I mean, Giannis is obviously the centerpiece. Is that what you got to look into and say, well, this guy might be good, but I don't know if he's going to fit with Giannis?
Absolutely, Chuck. For us, fit is everything. And so fit on the floor, fit off the floor, you know, how do they fit in our environment, our culture, the overall just characteristics of the people that we have. We think we have a great group of guys that fit with each other and like each other. Style of play, you know, Giannis obviously commands a ton of attention, so your ability to make open shots and make basketball reads and have an high IQ, the competitive level that Giannis plays at and our whole group plays at is a factor. And so, yeah, I think you saw it with Brook Lopez and Ersan and Pat Connaughton and Dante, the guys that we added. I think you even see it with the coaching staff that we ultimately decided to go with. I think the fit with Giannis is paramount, and now the fit within Bud's system is paramount. So those two things for us are very significant.
You know, next like 3-4 years or so, you're going to not have a first-round draft pick. How do you feel about that? Is that really all that important?
So, Chuck, I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Just a bit of an education for everyone. It's kind of being reported that we like basically traded every draft pick in the future of the franchise forever. Mm-hmm. And I would like to say it's really not that extreme. And part of there's stepping rules, so you're not allowed to trade two consecutive draft picks first of all. And the way that we were able to create protections in the Bledsoe trade last year when we were able to get Eric for a protected first. And then in the trade this year, where we're able to trade a protected first to do the things that we just did here, more than likely we'll actually have three first-round picks in the next four drafts. And we'll probably then give up the fourth one the year later. So really we should have three and five and end up trading two first. There's no scenario where we trade more than two first-round picks. And so however many years you want to go out and project this, at the end of the day, at worst-case scenario, we'll trade two first-round picks. At the best-case scenario, we'll trade one first-round pick and two future seconds. And so, in a series of these deals, we've picked up a couple of additional second-round picks from Washington. And so, we had to trade, some future assets and some things to facilitate these deals, but we were able to do some creative protections and get some things back. The cupboard's not bare. I mean, we will be drafting. I promise you, my scouts are still out watching college games and international basketball, and we have a lot of work to do in the draft in the future coming, and we're excited about that, even though we did have to move a few assets to do these deals.
John Horst, GM of the Bucks, joining us here, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Giannis making some news, not just for his accolades on the court and how well he's performing all these Player of the Month Week awards, but I thought it was interesting that he doesn't like working out with some of these other stars. These other guys want to work out with them, maybe Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Giannis says, no, these guys aren't my teammates. I don't want them to pick up my tendencies. Would you, as the GM, encourage Giannis to work out with some of these other guys, or do you like that he's kind of taking that bunker mentality?
Yeah, I think I like that Giannis is his own person. He understands what he needs to do to continue to improve. We'll continue to make suggestions and things along the way that we think can help him, but I'm not upset at him for wanting to kind of take this bunker mentality if that's the approach that he wants. And in the same breath, if there's a certain former star, current star that he wants to spend time with and learn from, he'll do that. I mean, so that got a lot of publicity, but obviously when he spent time with Kobe this summer, that got a lot of publicity also. So it's not that Giannis doesn't want to get help from anyone at all. I think he's very intentional and specific about who he wants to work with and who he wants to help him improve in the summer.
Would you be like, hey, Giannis, I know he's not our teammate, but I'm trying to sign this guy. Can you just go work out with this guy in the summer, or you're just going to leave that alone?
Yeah, I'll leave that alone for sure. I think Jeff Van Gundy this morning on NBA radio made him his automatic MVP for life because of the comments. So I'll let Jeff run with that one.
You know, I like that mentality because I mean, there's too much of this buddy-buddy in the NBA. I mean, you're supposed to hate the other guy. When did sports ever become so friendly?
Yeah, I mean, hey, I know for sure on our team we have ultra-competitive guys maybe that's part of Giannis's, special kind of approach and mentality to this thing, that there's nothing more important to him than winning and competing, including friendships. And so that's probably a little bit of behind what he said as well. But I agree with you, Chuck. I think there's been a shift in that mentality, and I feel fortunate that we have guys that compete at the high level that they do on our team.
You know, to get Brook Lopez, especially at the price that you got him, that was a pretty good find, man. That guy has been a key part of this stretch so far.
Yeah, Brook's been fantastic. Last night he made a few threes again for us. And that's been a huge thing, and that's the thing that people talk about most. But I think, our defense and our rebounding when Brook is on the floor is significantly better than when he's off the floor. And just the kind of the attention to detail he has, the physicality he plays with, the ability to take up space on the interior and just be big and be a deterrent has really helped our team defense. And obviously the spacing has been big for us too, but we've been very, very happy with Brook's play so far. And I know our guys love him too. He's been a fantastic teammate.
John Horst, GM of the Bucks, joining us, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. I don't know if it was a story or a non-story, but when Middleton sat on Saturday and then didn't play on Wednesday, personal reasons not with the team, that's fine. Then there's like conflicting reports. Is there anything going on with Middleton that would cause you guys not to look at him as a future piece of this team, or is there just a lot of junk going on out there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to answer the question, I was going to say absolutely not. So you said, is there a lot of junk going out there? So I said absolutely not and absolutely yes.
You've met Bucks Twitter. It ain't the greatest place to be.
Yeah, no, it's Chris is 100% a part of the current and future of this team. He's a core member of our group, you know, our second best player. You know, he loves the role he has in this team, loves playing with Giannis, and yeah, there's nothing going on. And quite honestly, I just think it's unfortunate. Like, Chris had personal things to attend to at home, like we all do sometimes, and missed a day of work, and that's literally it. And the timing was bad because it came off of the heels of, you know, getting limited time against the New York Knicks in a game that we all struggled and we were searching and trying to figure out how to win. And then he had some personal things to take care of at home, like we all do. And the stuff that's come out of that, I think, is really unfortunate because, you know, it's just not true at all. You know, Chris had personal issues, just like we reported, and it's no longer the case. And I thought he was fantastic for us defensively in Toronto against Kawhi, did a fantastic job. Had to go against Klay Thompson the night before. And then last night I thought he did. Again, I think he's really kind of played much better on defense. And, you know, offensively players go through ebbs and flows, and he'll work his way through it. And we know he's an explosive offensive player that we need, and we need to play at a high level, and he'll get there, you know, shortly.
I guess going off that and a couple of the questions we ask you, I'm going to ask this one. We did Ask Horse hashtag on Facebook and Twitter. This is from David. He says, do you have intentions on bringing in a second big-time player to pair with Giannis? And this is David's words. Clearly, what is currently on the roster does not qualify as a big-time player. How would you respond to David on that one?
I would say that anytime a big-time player, however anyone classifies that, becomes available or is an opportunity, it's our job to look at it and study it and try to figure out if it fits us. And if it doesn't fit us, we're still extremely – where I would disagree with him is we're extremely happy with the group that we have. And I truly believe that whether people see Chris and Eric and Malcolm and Brooke as the appropriate supporting cast or not, as we continue to improve and play under Bud's system and get better as a group and gel. Again, this group hasn't played together very long yet, and we're 18-8 right now. I think over time, if we continue to have success, people will start to understand that this group could be good enough as it is.
Bucks GM John Horst. I have a bunch of DJ Wilson questions, but we'll save that for another time. I love watching that guy bank threes. John, we do appreciate some time. We will check in with you down the road if you're willing.
Great, Bart. Great talk. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Thank you. Bucks GM John Horst joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Always good to talk to, I don't want to say Mr. Horst. I'm not a Mr. guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So, you know, if we were talking to Bud, I could say always good to talk to coach. Always good to talk to, what's another word for GM? The GM? Always good to talk to the GM?
Yeah.
Is there like a slang for that?
Johnny Horst. Boy? Yeah. No, John. John Horst.
Did he confirm or deny that Bucks Twitter sucks? He laughed.
Okay, here's the thing.
I didn't know.
Here's my problem with this. But Bucks Twitter, Brewer Twitter, and Packer Twitter are all the same, aren't they?
No. Cody, I need Cody out here.
Packer Twitter's all full of hate.
It's all different. It is all different.
I mean, I don't know how Bucks Twitter can be any different than Packer and Brewer Twitter.
They're like cousins of each other. So they're all in the same sort of...
But, I mean, the Brewer Twitter was nasty this past summer, and they're winning games.
Yeah, Brewer Twitter sucks.
Okay.
And Packer Twitter's trash.
Well, Twitter's Twitter. Twitter's... all that is for trashy news.
But Bucks Twitter is... What's the difference between Bucks Twitter and the other two Twitters?
There's nothing worse than Bucks Twitter.
Yeah. Well, but
like,
what's...
Like, there's an obvious difference between Bucks Twitter, Packers Twitter, and Brewers Twitter. Packers Twitter and Brewers Twitter are bad, obviously. But Bucks Twitter is like that bad times like a trillion.
Like what makes it bad?
I mean, like during a game, if you watch a game, you're on Twitter at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do one mistake against, like, let's say the Suns, and this game is over. You know, they're down by 10 in the first quarter with four minutes to go.
Down
this game's
two
over.
In the first quarter.
Same thing with the Packers after
same
Atlanta went up
Bucks.
7-0 this past week.
See, I don't think it's as
Oh, God. Same old story, same Packers, the coaching change. I saw a lot of that.
Packers Twitter is they're fearful that we're never going to win again with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
So there's something behind that. Brewers Twitter, still I feel like they think that there's 16 games in a season, not 162. But Bucks Twitter, there's always an excuse. You can never, ever be satisfied. Bucks beat the Raptors. But Kawhi didn't play. Well, neither did Giannis. But Kawhi did. Bucks beat the Warriors. Yeah, but they played like three nights ago. Bucks beat the Raptors the other night. Yeah, but don't you remember they lost to the Suns?
But how about when the Brewers lose to Cincinnati at home and Scooter hits a home run? Oh, they can't even beat the Reds. In baseball, anybody can beat anybody.
That's Radio Joe Sports Twitter.
No, that's everybody.
That's what that is.
No, there's a lot of that.
That's what that is.
There's more than that.
Bart had a great tweet about maybe, 4 days ago, saying that Bucks could beat a team of 5 Michael Jordans and Bucks fans would still bring up the loss of the Suns.
Yeah, they
could. That's the problem with Bucks Twitter. Well, they talk about the loss of the Suns and the loss of the Knicks. However, they beat the Nuggets twice. They beat the Warriors. They beat the Raptors twice.
But if you're still talking about the Suns, man, you don't know basketball.
Exactly, but people do it.
But then, I mean, that's how much credence can you lean to that, though?
At 6 a.m.
What's that?
We had a Suns reference this morning at 6 a.m.
But, I mean, I think that's just people just trying to cause them problems and getting under Bart's skin. And
no, Twitter is not.
If you are still referencing the Suns' loss a month later, you're an idiot, a flat-out idiot.
Well, I agree. We all agree.
Yeah.
But that's what happens.
Oh, they beat the Toronto. Oh, but they lost to the Suns a couple of weeks ago.
You know what? You would be a real idiot if you didn't do?
If you didn't go to Robert's Specialty Meats for the holidays. Because,
how did you read my mind there? Wow.
Player, I know, because we're behind the schedule here. Robert's Specialty
There's
Meats.
There's always time for Robert's.
Robert's Specialty Meats in Waukesha. Paul Roberts, the proprietor of Robert's Specialty Meats, loves to play Santa. He'll help you create a gift box of quality products from USDA prime beef tenderloins, porterhouses, T-bone steaks, bacon wrap fillets, their legendary Al Capone Italian roast, the ribs on a stick. And when you go to Robert's Ribs, when you go to Robert's Specialty Meats, it should be called Robert's Ribs on a Stick, the place, but Robert's Specialty Meats, you got to get yourself 3 or 4 pounds of the ribs on a stick. An assortment of original sausages and brats. They got over 30 varieties of sausages and brats to choose from. You got it, player. So when you're going to get a gift box this holiday season, if you don't know what to get your neighbors or your relatives or your family or whatever, get them a gift box from Robert's Specialty Meats. The staff there, Paul Roberts, will help you select some things to put in that gift box. And also, they will wrap them all. They will vacuum wrap them all so they are good to go for the long run. Ask Paul about that. Call Roberts today, 262-549-MEAT. Be sure to sample some of their cherry wood smoked beef sticks as well. But I'm telling you, for this weekend, for the gift boxes, for anything you need meats-related, Roberts Specialty Meats, south side of Waukesha on Sunset Drive. Visit them online, robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com. For the best of meats, it's Roberts Specialty Meats, Sunset Drive in Waukesha, your hometown butcher.
The difference between Bucks Twitter and Packers Twitter is this, and obviously I'm speaking in general terms here, but Packers Twitter is people that fall in love with certain players. And if that player is done wrong, then that Packer fan hates the organization and stands by that player, which is the worst thing you can do. Bucks Twitter is full of the most amount of arrogance of any sports of any sport there is. So out of baseball, hockey, football, basketball, you know, whatever, you name it, like the amount of NBA geniuses out there is mind-boggling. And that is the difference. It is arrogance and stupidity.
That is our friend Sith Lord. You can find him on Twitter, Sith Lord AR. He works at Hyundai West Dallas, and he just did a video. You guys can always send us videos like that too at 105.7 FM The Fan. He didn't swear. I didn't have to edit that at all, so that's why we could play it. Sid, thank you.
You know what? Until somebody call, I haven't heard one person ever call our radio station and just talk like an idiot about the Milwaukee Bucks. And just like you you all say is on Twitter.
So you don't think it exists then?
I care about the fan Twitter, our live Twitter. Not the Twitter radio station, the fan radio station. That's what I care about, people, our listeners calling up and actually saying that sort of thing. I want to hear that. Easy to write some stupid stuff on Twitter.
So if one person calls and says, loss of the Suns, you'll...
Not one, but it's like, why would you... No, how would you... I mean, let's hear some people.
Can we set up a plant call tomorrow?
Sure,
absolutely.
Why should you set up a plant call? Why can't we just get a regular call?
Because it's like anything that happens just on Twitter, you're almost dismissing that it doesn't happen because these people don't call a sports radio station. I'm telling you, the sentiment is out there. There are people that follow this team that hate your friend Gary and my friend. There are people that follow this team that are still bitching about the loss of the Suns.
There's still people who hate us, you and I.
That's impossible.
Oh, God. I'll put something out there, and a guy will say something. Call me a name, whatever.
That's just like a sixth grade crush. That's what they're doing. They're just,
yeah, that's all it's like.
Yeah, that's all you got to worry about.
What am I going to do?
They love
all right, why don't you come down to 11800 West Grange and say it to my face? If I say that, then I get in trouble with the front office, so I can't say that. So what am I going to do? I just let him go.
It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Cody, what did we not cover today?
Well, we mentioned Stephen Curry and his comments on the moon landing being fake or that America's never been to the moon. So NASA just came out, offered Stephen Curry a tour of the lunar lab to show him moon rocks to prove the moon landing was real.
He should take that invitation. He should.
There's my conspiracy.
That sounds interesting.
Stephen Curry
loves more than anything.
The whole space thing, and was just doing this to try to get NASA to bring him in for a special tour.
Hey, he wanted.
He doesn't really believe that the moon landing didn't happen.
Steph Curry wanted something to supersede his visit to Milwaukee Hamilton High School last week.
Exactly.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I can't at least say enough about that. I think that was very cool.
That's probably the biggest star that ever or has been or ever will be.
Durant was there too. I mean, they all were there.
Well, I mean, Steph Curry though. I mean, Steph Curry, man, he's a household name.
Yeah, Steph's more popular than Kevin Durant, I think. Yeah.
I think I would agree on that one. What else did we not get to today? On a jam-packed show, I can't believe there's even anything we didn't cover.
Dwayne Wade and LeBron James faced off for the last time last night.
Yeah, that didn't interest me. In fact, no, I didn't any of that. I saw a video of them working out.
Dwayne Wade, no. His career's done. Boy, am I glad the Bucks didn't sign him a few years ago.
Yeah, the Bulls did.
Yeah. And that Bulls made a big deal, and that was a mistake,
Well, Bulls make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
So, nobody bet on the game last night, right?
Yeah, we bet on the Cleveland Bucks game.
I had Cleveland.
What's the standings at?
We're even now. I beat Frames last night, so we're even. You still owe me 50.
And Chuck owes me
75, right?
Or 100?
No, I think it's 75.
75 seems right. Yeah. Is there anything tonight to bet on?
I like the Houston Rockets tonight.
NBA, we're down to.
Yeah, well, we have no Wisconsin games going on tonight, right? Yeah, yeah. So we have to go on.
I like Portland.
All right,
get the 6.5.
Is that on TV at least?
I have no idea.
Oh, it's somewhere. You can find it.
You can find it online.
You can find anything on TV now.
Where's the game at?
Houston.
And Houston's the underdog?
Houston's the 6.5 point favorite.
And you're taking Portland?
I'm taking Portland.
Oh, God, I'll get in on that.
Want Portland?
No, I want the Rockets.
Oh, awesome. Oh. Okay.
Okay, yeah. I got both of you guys in.
Give me the
sounds good.
Okay. Let's go Rockets.
Yes, okay.
I've always loved the Rockets.
I like Portland even more now.
I always love the Rockets.
We're going to start new this week, Freems. We're going to bet on a game every night this week up until our NFL picks on Friday.
Until I break you?
No, I mean, you're not going to break me. You were up 75, now we're even.
All right. So we're down, we're even right now.
We're even, yep.
Uncle Barty's got to keep the...
How about last night? We all like Seattle.
We all like Seattle. Yeah. I got to keep the credit card receipt away from my wife. I bet on some bowl games the other night when I was drinking.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't even know who I... Yeah, for Saturday. I did some advanced betting.
Oh, this coming Saturday.
I don't even know who I like.
Like the humanitarian bowl?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting weekend. We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Bill Michaels up next. Here on The Fan.